Today's reading is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 19, which can be found on page 1209. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architects and builders is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered himself faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countries as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead.
Great, thank you. I'm just going to clear this. Wonderful. Hi, my name is Amy, for those of you who haven't met me before, and I'm going to be sharing a little bit about that Hebrews passage. Could you just turn the foldbacks bit down a little bit, because my brain is going a little bit like, that's crazy, thank you. This week, I have had the most annoying earworm in my head for like the entire week. For those of you who don't know what an earworm is, it's when a song or a little bit of music gets stuck in your head and just goes round and round. And it was doing my head in, so on Wednesday I shared it with my housemates, just so as a team we could share the earworm. I'm going to share it with you. Who can guess what the song is that's been going around my head? Should we sing it together? No. So the song, "Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord." And then you have to like stick your arm up or do something. Anyway, there's literally no reason for me telling you that apart from I wanted you guys to be really annoyed this week by having that song go round and round in your head. So this week, at the moment, we're looking and working through a series on faith, and we are looking at different people in the Bible and seeing what their faith looks like. So we're all working from chapter 11 in Hebrews. I grew up knowing this as like kind of the hall of fame of faith. It's got everybody there. There's a list of people who have gone before us and in faith done amazing things. It reads like a who's who of the Old Testament. So it speaks of Moses and Rahab and Noah and Abraham and just loads of really famous Old Testament characters. The whole chapter is about faith of those people who had not yet seen what God had promised. None of them had seen Jesus or knew Jesus or, like us, read his teaching, but still they had faith. The promise of God was enough for the people in Hebrews 11. Now, a few weeks ago, some of us were down at Winchester Cathedral for a big event called Thy Kingdom Come. It was a massive event. There was a guy called Matt Redman, who's quite a famous worship leader, was leading worship. The Bishop of Basingstoke gave a little talk. Justin Welby, via the technology of excitement, delivered a little talk as well. Some amazing people from our congregation got baptized and confirmed. That was them stepping out in faith, publicly saying, "This is my faith." And after the talk by the Bishop of Basingstoke, people were given an opportunity to come forward and to pray with somebody. And this teenager came forward and asked me to pray with her. She said she'd heard all about Jesus and her friends all believed in Jesus, but she just couldn't quite get this faith thing. She had no idea what faith was about or how to get it. So I decided that I'd give her my best illustration of faith that has never failed me yet, even when I was a youth worker. And it all started with one very critical question. "Do you know Indiana Jones?" At which point she turned to me and said, "What's Indiana Jones?" And I was like, this is all I've got. I was like, this is my one illustration. So that made me feel really old and like I needed some new illustrations and like it's a good job that Matt and Amy are youth workers and not me. So Indiana Jones is a super cool archaeologist. He's on the search for the Holy Grail, which is like the cup that Jesus used to celebrate the Last Supper. And when he comes to a point, he needs to take a leap of faith. So I was going to explain it to you, but then I thought, let's just watch the clip because, you know, telly's much better than real people. That's right, isn't it? Let's watch the Indiana Jones clip. So Indiana Jones is trying to search for the lost Holy Grail, and he comes to a point and he comes out of the hole in the rock and there is just a ravine in front of him. And all he's got is a little guidebook to tell him that you've got to leap, you've got to take a step out. And that, for me, is what faith is about. That you've looked at all your options and you've just... And you've weighed it up. It's not blind faith. You've weighed it up. You've thought about it. But there comes a point, this girl, this teenager was asking me, she's like, "But how do I know?" And I'm like, "I'm afraid. It's just you've just got to step out." And that, for me, is why Indiana Jones is such a good example of that. He has no other choice but to go forward. He can't go back. He has to go forward. So Hebrews 11 starts with the verse, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And the story of Abraham, the story we're going to look at today, helps us to understand what our faith might look like. So just a little bit of background about Abraham for you. The song says he had many sons. That was true. Abraham is first introduced to us in Genesis 11, so right at the very beginning of the Bible. His name isn't Abraham at that point, it's Abram. He was born at a time when many people worshipped many different gods. But he heard and chose to obey the voice of the one God, Yahweh. So Yahweh and Abraham start to have this relationship. And at the beginning of chapter 12, Abraham listens to God and listens to his promises. And in light of those promises that God makes, Abraham picks up sticks and he moves. That's in response to three promises that God makes him. God promises him relationship with God, numerous descendants and land. And this is in Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3. It says, I will make, this is God speaking to Abraham, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So God promises Abraham great descendants, numerous descendants. The only issue is that Abraham and Sarah, his wife, who later becomes Sarah, are old and past childbearing age. But they still believe in the promise of God, and they do what God asks, and they get up and they leave their home country and they move away. The amazing thing about Abraham is there's no signs, there's no miracles. There's no scriptures or traditions of people who've gone before. Abraham places his whole trust in God. He has none of the history that we have today. And because of this, Abraham's gone down in history as a tremendous man of faith. And as a result of this obedience, God makes a covenant with Abraham and changes his name to Abraham, which means father of the people. And as part of the same covenant, Sarah changes her name to Sarah, which means mother of nations. Because Sarah, in her old age, has a baby, and he is called Isaac. And yet again, God challenges Abraham with another ridiculous request, which you might have heard in the passage, but we'll get to later. And I think there are three things we can draw out from these verses and the story of Abraham and Sarah that can encourage us in our faith. So the first thing is that faith involves obedience. Faith begins when you are willing to step out and obey. Going back to Indiana Jones, he was stuck at the edge of a ravine. He trusted that what lay ahead of him had to be better than what lay behind. He had to obey the map. He had no other choice. And he stepped out and was caught by the bridge that was hidden. The verse about Abraham says, by faith, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, Abraham obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Now, for some of you, the thought of even leaving your home without planning where you're going to have gone is a thought that induces panic. For some of you, that sounds like the beginning of a really great adventure, just to walk out of your house one day and not know where you are going. But we're told at this point that Abraham is an old man, and he is being asked to leave his home country, the only country he has ever known, and to travel to a distant land, only following the promises of God. And a life of faith often starts with a call to leave somewhere safe. Whether that's a physical place, or an emotional place, or a spiritual place. Faith requires us to step out into the unknown. Dan last week talked about risk, and that is exactly what a life of faith is. It's risky. And remember, as I've said already, Abraham didn't have the advantages as we had. He had no signs and no miracles, no traditions, no scripture. He did not have the example of godly men and women around him to encourage him. So Abraham obeys and ends up as a 75-year-old man living in a tent in a country in which he is a stranger. He he's a foreigner, a feeling that he would have never had before at 75. I wonder when Abraham and Sarah first met if this was in their plan. It's unlikely, isn't it? They'd have stayed in one village, in one place. But they heard the call of God and they went. And obedience didn't lead Abraham and Sarah to an immediate place of comfort and joy and peace. In fact, it took him on a journey which would effectively last years and years of their life. Which leads us to point two. Faith involves waiting, which for Abraham and for Sarah involves a city and babies. So verse 9 says, by faith he, so Abraham, made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham ends up in a tent far away from home. But the vision that God has given them is of a solid foundation of the city to come. But Abraham doesn't need stability in the physical. He isn't reliant on the bricks and mortar of a home. Rather, he knows his stability is in God. I wonder how often we rely on the physical. I think I know, certainly for me, over the last few weeks, I have been shaken by where my stability lies. I've been reminded of where my faith and stability should be. But Abraham is sat in a tent, holding on to the promise of God, even though I imagine the promise felt far off. And it's so interesting that in the Bible we have such an early vision of a heavenly city. Often people talk about the Bible going from the garden to the city, so from the Garden of Eden to the city, the end, Revelation, the end city. But God, the architect, is already planning a heavenly city, only a few verses, few chapters into the Bible. God is already thinking in terms of community and gathering people. So then the writer of Hebrews talks us through the most famous story of Abraham, the promise of a baby, even though age and infertility stood in the way of Abraham and Sarah. It's been interesting this week as I've read commentaries on this, and several people are surprised that Sarah is in this list in Hebrews 11. Because if you read the story in Genesis, you see that basically God tells her what's going to happen and she just laughs in his face. She thinks that's ridiculous, which I think is probably quite a reasonable reaction if you're quite old and someone tells you you're going to have a baby. But for this reason alone, I think she's a great example of faith. Her mind is full of doubt when she first hears the Lord. And she went behind God's back and she reenacts her own little plan, but she still comes back in faith to God and to his promises. On some level somewhere, she still knows the God who is faithful. And let's be honest, I think she's a great example because who here can't relate to her story? Who here can't relate to the fact that you have doubts about what God has said to you? And even sometimes we plan our own little sneaky plan. We go behind God's back because we're not quite sure that he's got this for us. We're not quite sure that he's going to come through on what he says. So we go about it our own way. So I think Sarah's story is just a real massive encouragement for us. That here she is in the Hall of Fame, someone who doubted and who kind of made a little plan of her own, but in the end came back to the promise of God and had a baby, Isaac. Sarah's story shows also that God gives us time sometimes for our attitudes to change. There was about 25 years between the promise of God that you will have a baby and Isaac being born. Sometimes God uses that waiting time for us to be changed. I wonder if you ever feel like God's put your life on hold. You're just waiting. You're in limbo for something. You think he's promised something, but it hasn't yet appeared. So 25 years, Abraham and Sarah waited. But through all that time, God remained faithful to his promise to them. And waiting is one of life's difficulties, isn't it? Most of you know here that I'm a massive fan of Christmas, and part of me really loves Advent because, you know, it's a countdown and that's fun, but I just really love Christmas. And I peak a bit early, usually in October, and then I crash again and then I come back up in time for Christmas. But I'm so excited that I'm just waiting, but I want that wait to be over. And waiting time is never wasted time in God's plan. Because as people of faith, we have to ask ourselves, what is God doing in that time? What is God doing with you? What are you learning? How is your relationship with God and others? Because his promise is true that he will never leave you or forsake you. And that is both in the waiting times and in the action times. That God is with you and going ahead of you when you know what is coming, but also when you're just stuck in limbo. And that's the same for Abraham and Sarah. They were stuck in limbo for about 25 years, waiting on this promise of God. So faith involves obedience and waiting. And finally, it also involves sacrifice. Honestly, I have battled with this part of the story all week because I just really struggle with it. That's me being honest. You may have remembered from the Bible that God asks Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. This boy that had been promised to Abraham and Sarah was nearly taken away. And not by a freak accident, but at the hands of the father, directed by God. For me, this event shows us the paradox of faith, the willingness to surrender what has been waited for and promised. Isaac is the heir to the promise, and Abraham is willing to give up that promise that he has just waited for. So by faith, it was that Abraham offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice when God tested him. Abraham demonstrated a willingness to give God the most important thing in his life. What's the most important thing in your life? Would you be willing to give it up if asked? This idea is so out of our comfort zone, I know, especially when we come to start thinking about people. And it's okay to not be in that place where you could turn around and say, yes, of course, I'd give that person to God straight away. And God's actually okay with that, but it's about where your heart wants to be. So as most of you know, just over a month ago, I got married. I'm 29, and for Christians, that's quite old to get married. And I've been waiting for a long time, like, this man who'd come, and I thought he was promised by God. Now, if God turned around to me and said, that's it, you're like, you know, Femi's going, my honest answer would be like, back off. I know that my heart has to be in a place which says, yeah, that's really horrible and awful, but okay. And I'm working on being in that place, but I am so far from being in that place. And I think God sees our hearts, though, and he knows that. This sacrifice stuff is ridiculously hard. And I think for lots of us, it's a bit of a barrier between us and God if he asks us to sacrifice things. Corrie ten Boom, this lady up here, is a famous Christian who sheltered Jews from the Nazis. She once commented that she had learned to hold the things of this world loosely, because she knew that if she grasped them tightly, then the Lord would have to pry her fingers away and it would hurt her. Is there anything in your life that you are prying onto with your fingers? That kind of grasping something when your fingers and your knuckles go white, that's how hard you're holding onto something. There's a story in Matthew's gospel that I think might help us. A guy, this rich young ruler. So this young man comes to Jesus and asks, what must he do to inherit eternal life and gain access to the kingdom of God? Jesus told him, this is Matthew 19, to go and sell what you have and give it to the poor. The point of this story isn't giving money to the poor. The point of this story is that Jesus knew where this man's heart was. Jesus knew that money was the first in this man's heart and the first place in his life. Because God isn't interested in your money. He's interested in your heart. And what's amazing about the Abraham story is that when Abraham was willing to give God the most important thing in his life, God gave it back to him. God gave it right back to him. For some of us, the most important things in our lives is our families. For others, it's our career or dreams of the future and what might be. But if you're afraid to trust God with your possessions or your dreams or your family, then you need to take a look at the life of Abraham. Because Abraham was willing to give up everything he had for God, and he received back far more than he could ever imagine. Because you will never give anything up for God that God will not repay many, many times over. So true faith from the story of Abraham involves a willingness to sacrifice what we have. So the story of Abraham is about faith. Faith in the will of God. Not blind faith for Abraham, because the Bible tells us that Abraham frequently challenged and questioned God. But in the end, he trusted his God, who had made him such extraordinary promises, and in doing so formed an incredibly special bond between God and Abraham. And the God of Abraham still makes promises to us today. He might not promise you land or loads of descendants. You might want that, I don't know, you could ask him. But he promises to walk alongside us when we are struggling. He promises to lead us in our faith. And he promises that when we step out in faith, he will be there to catch us. So we're just going to take just 2 minutes now before the band come back up. And just in quiet, where you are, just think a little bit about God and faith. Do you need to trust his promises more? Do you need help in being obedient or in your time of waiting? Or do you need help in being sacrificial in things? And maybe you're just not sure about any of this stuff, and it all seems really big and scary, and you just would like to take a minute in your brain to just do something else. That is fine. So we're just going to take a minute now, and then the band can come up and lead us in worship.